Hey, what's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today I want to talk about shark feeding, the pros and cons. I know that I can't cover this topic in a single show, but that is not my intention here. Here I just want to give you a few points to make you more aware what is actually going out there and how to choose an operator. Would you believe that there's actually close to 380 dive operations from close to 30 countries on this planet that offer shark diving? Unbelievable, right? I guess without saying that in an ideal world, we would not have to feed sharks in order to see them. That, of course, triggers the question, is there a need to see sharks at all? Well, my world revolves around these animals, so I always want to see them. But what I saw in the last 35 years, more and more people, divers and non-divers, snorkelers also, swimmers, they want to see sharks. They want to understand. They want to learn about these incredible animals, or they just question what the media tells us. Granted, I have the privilege to dive all over the world and places where sharks can be seen without introducing food. But then there are other places where you won't see any of them if you do not create an odor trail. Anyway, I differ between several types of feeding, and the biggest differentiation I make is just creating an actual odor trail where you won't really feed the shark or actually feeding them. So let's get started with actually feeding a shark. Bottom line is that I don't like it, since all too often the sharks are not presented how they truly are, but are shown like circus animals. If you've ever seen these guys in chainmail suits, you know what I'm talking about. Chainmail suits. There's absolutely nothing that I can say that could justify this type of feeding. Why are you protecting yourself? Why are you telling on the boat nothing can happen and then you protect yourself? That does not make sense. And this is really what rubs me here the wrong way. That these feeders give you a wrrongful image of these animals. So why on God's earth do they then have to wear this suit if sharks are not dangerous? Feed them in a swimsuit for crying out loud and put your foot where the mouth is. If you really believe that sharks are harmless, then you don't need any protection. It's that simple. Using a chainmail suit, no matter what, gives out the absolute wrong message. And that is even more problematic, since often novice divers choose this type of spectacle because it's very common. So they don't really know where to go and how to choose. This is why I really want to educate all these youngsters, all these new divers. So a diver that is new to the sport or to shark encounters will get the absolute wrong message when participating in these type of dives. And then, of course, there is not giving out the correct information. I have the strong belief that if one presents animals of any kind, one should always let the observer know as much as possible, so that he or she can then much more appreciate what they see, what the animal is doing, the behavior, and so on. But this is most of the time a non-taken avenue. The main reason why it is not done in such a way is simple. Why bother? Why add another hour at the shop or on the boat to talk about these animals, the plight, the behavior, their harmlessness, or any other related topic that actually could help these sharks? Because one won't get more money, so why bother? And of course, most of these feeders, handlers, operators don't know anything about sharks. And even more so about the species they attract. And I've seen really plenty of these type of operators just join their dive for a heck of it. And it was unbelievable what they really or how they presented these animals. But why do we then have so many operations out there? I mean, aren't there any laws, any regulations? Well, basically no, because everybody can do so as long as it's not prohibited by law. Like, for example, in the US, I may come across here as a know-it-all, but I'm in the shark business for 35 years, and I've seen the rise of shark feeding from the humble beginnings to this multi-million dollar industry of today. I spent a lot of time in the Bahamas and so, well, came across quite a few of these operations, mainly the ones in chainmail suits. Would you believe that there are over 40 dive operators in the Bahamas alone that offer shark diving? unbelievable, right? I've been on some of these dives. I just mentioned it, just for the heck of it. And I was more than surprised, or rather shocked, what I saw and what I heard. The thing most remarkable is for me that these handlers, the feeders, do not care about hierarchy, meaning which shark do they have to feed first, which is second line, and so on. Of course, you can say, why care since all of them are so relaxed? True. But what if a new shark shows up who is not yet relaxed? In most cases, nothing drastic will happen, but I feel it is a necessity for a handler, a feeder, or the operator as such to know and understand these things. Know how to act or react when a new shark shows up. They just give food to any shark that comes close. So where's the knowledge, the understanding? Again, the good thing is that sharks are quite relaxed at such sites. The bad thing is that feeders don't know anything about the social structures of these animals. Well, you know, there's just something really weird. So what qualifies, truly, what qualifies a dive operator to attract sharks? Nothing. Me as a shark researcher, what would qualify me to teach diving? Nothing. So this is really, really mind-boggling. Yeah, I'm bashing them because it does not make me happy to see how these sharks are presented. Maybe you have seen some of these pictures where sharks were put into tonic immobility and then balanced on their heads on a feeder's hand. Well, I think you know what I'm talking about. Why? What is the purpose of such an act? That the handler is such a shark guru that he's actually like, why? What is the purpose of such an act? To show how superior a feeder is or how a quote-unquote monster can be handled? I don't know what rights a feeder to do something so stupid. But by attacking such practice, I'm very much aware that I'm opening a very ugly can of worms because handlers do that in my part of the woods. Yes, it is stupid, and I'm not very fond of people who do that. So you can imagine I get quite a bit heat from what I'm saying here. Now, some of you know that I'm frequently at Tiger Beach in Derry Feed as well. So seems as I'm a hypocrite. Well, I'm not, because the way the feeding is done there differs a lot from the chainmail suit nuisances. First of all, the handlers are in regular dive suit. Duh. Of course. Then we only feed the tigers, and there are maybe 1 to 8 animals. So the hierarchy is very limited. But even so, you don't really feed them. Each of these large sharks is several hundred pounds, and you give them maybe 1 pound max on food. And in addition to it, it's very important, these tigers approach on their own time without any competition to one another when they're close by. So they make the decisions of who is fed further away from the food source. Granted, there are always lemon sharks as well, 20, 30 animals, who also want some food, but they don't get anything. So what I'm saying is we are very selective to what kind of shark species we actually offer some food. Not just everyone who shows up will be fed, as we've seen in other dive operations. So yes, I can differ between the chainmail suit performance and the one at Tiger Beach. But then there is Shark Beach we have in Walker's Cay, where we use some food as well. But there we use it to show how sharks have to make decisions between the person and the food, the distance to the person, the competition with other sharks, and so on. What I'm saying is that we purposely create a particular scenario to show different aspects of a shark's mind. This type of food introducing is a very important part of a shark-human interaction workshop that takes a full week where we introduce people to an array of situations with sharks and show how sharks act, react in certain scenarios and how we humans have to react or adjust us accordingly. Now, let me give you an idea about a feeding method that I actually support. It's a chumsicle, what we also call a simulated carcass feeding. Here we try to simulate how sharks might act or react when there is a carcass floating at the surface. So when there's just way too much food for one shark, several show up. What kind of hierarchy are they creating? Who is feeding when? The bottom line of this method is that fish carcasses are frozen into a tight ball and then hung into the water column. The sharks can then approach his frozen ball at their own leisure and feed from it. Should they feel that they have to snap at some sharks, push it away because it's not their turn, then it's their business. Okay, so this is a feeding method I actually support. But I'm most fond, of course, of not an actual feeding, but of otter trail or chum trails. That is something I prefer over anything else when it comes to food and sharks. Just give the shark a whiff and they come in to check you out. If it's intriguing, they stick around. If not, they leave. And most importantly, they won't associate you with the odor and just hang out. Of course, you may not want to stay too close to the crate or whatever is used to create the odor, as well as not exactly down current of the box. So you want to stay up current or to the side. So the shark will most likely come from down current because he got the whiff in. So you don't want to be in a shark's way. Some of these sharks lose interest, but most of them stick around because they see something new, us, and that can be quite intriguing. So you see, there are different methods of feeding, different ways to attract sharks. And the less the shark associates food with us, the more natural the scenario, the more appreciative I am over such a scenario. Okay, I hope I gave you some pointers here what to look for when using food to attract sharks. And you can now make an educated decision when choosing one operator over another. I also have a chapter in my latest book on shark-human interaction that gives more pointers, more what to look for when choosing an operator. So you may want to read that. That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment. And remember, it is a privilege to be among them.